life as lived. I do think that there are scales of wrong and scales of reconciliation. So I think there are things that the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. And I think there are lots of things in day-to-day life and in day-to-day church life where the situation is small enough that you just, okay, you think, okay, I'll just take that bullet and we'll keep going and, you know, let that one go through to the keeper. And there are other things where the circumstances are such that the nature of the grief is very real and abiding, and the nature of the non-repentance is really seemingly immovable. And I think you need to think in terms of almost like concentric circles to the best possible place you can stand in good conscience. So I think a serious sin against you that is genuinely unrepented for, I think you need to stand ready to forgive. You need to pray for your enemy and ask God to work in your heart to love your enemy. But I think non-repentance does create a roadblock on their part to reconciliation. So you want to move as far as you can in Christ toward them. But I don't think, I imagine this is a serious situation. I think unrepentance does create a roadblock, and you need to get as close as you can without, that's what I think.
Thank you. As a spirit-filled church, should we be seeing the practice of supernatural gifts, whether at the service or in small groups, etc.?
Great question. So I think I've thought about that a lot, and because I reckon we're both drinking the same Kool-Aid. In that, to me, it makes perfect sense to distinguish natural from supernatural. So I read through those lists, and I bet we would have, if we were reading through the list of gifts, you and I, well, I'm not going to be able to find them now. One's given a message of wisdom, to another knowledge by the same Spirit, another faith, another healing, miraculous, distinguishing different tongues and stuff like that. And if you compare the other lists, there's a gift of administration, gift of singleness and marriage and all that kind of thing. To me, it's obvious to categorize them as spiritual and non-spiritual. But I don't think that distinction would make sense to the Apostle Paul. So if you said to the Apostle Paul, the spiritual gifts versus non-spiritual, you say, oh, what do you mean? What's that distinction? And he seems to bung them all in as administration, singleness, tongues, healing, I think that's our category more than the Bible's category, but I almost can't think my way out of it. Like I think, oh, there's such a thing as supernatural and some things are and aren't. I just think it's not something that, it's not a distinction that's hard and fast in Paul. And a weird thing about 1 Corinthians 12 to 14, I would have thought that supernatural means from God, and natural means there's an ambiguity. It's like derivatively from God, but not directly from God. And so I would feel like if I suddenly were able to prophesy, so say right now, I felt that God had a prophecy in me for you. I feel like it's a moral obligation to give you that prophecy. Would you not feel like that? And yet here, there are situations where a prophet, Paul would say, actually, that's enough for tonight. We've had our prophecies. Come back next week or let it go. So there's a weird thing, a weird way he thinks that we don't think, that even supernatural manifestations are still regulated by the principle of love. So I'm as confused as you are, but I'm totally intrigued by the way he thinks and how different it is from the way we think.
If all of our spiritual gifts are equal, in chapter 12, verse 31, it says that we need to desire these greater gifts of prophesying and speaking in tongues. Should we desire these gifts today?
We should definitely desire the greater gifts and earnestly pray for them and ask for them and so on. I think because 1 Corinthians 12 to 14 is a case study about a live situation, he's arbitrating between the two gifts that are vying for attention. I'm not sure that that means that in every situation that's the choice before us, gifts, tongues or prophecy. Like I was saying, it could be music or preaching or mercy ministry or evangelism or whatever. And I think he's saying in all those situations, the principle is 1 Corinthians 13, the way of love, the purpose of church is edification, eagerly desire the greater gifts, which are those gifts that build up the church. And they could be different choices in any generation and in any church.
Very good. Can gifts of the Spirit be grown or developed, or does the Spirit just magic them onto us?
Yeah, again, I think that's a really good question to which I don't know the answer, but it seems that Paul messes together a whole lot of things that make sense to keep separate in our minds. So I think if you had the group from Corinth together 12 months before they became Christian, it's entirely possible that a lot of the things that Paul calls gift, charisma, would have been true before they were Christian. And now that they're Christian, they're redeemed by the Spirit, but not necessarily... that's definitely true in one case, that if you got the Corinthians together 12 months before Paul came, some of them were single and some of them were married. And after the gospel, singleness is called charismata and marriage is called charismata. And I think there's a mixture of some things that the Spirit gave that suddenly you could speak in tongues and before you're a Christian you couldn't. And there are some things that were true of you before you're a Christian that are redeemed by the Spirit in the gospel.
On that note of charismata, why does Paul move away from spirituals to gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 only to encourage them to desire the spirituals in 1 Corinthians 14:1? That's my question.
Yeah. I mean, my feeling is that in 14:1, he's wanting to, having kind of, in a way that it's hard to understand except that we've done the series, in a way that he's knocked them around the head in chapter 13, I think just as a pastor, he's pulling back a bit and reusing their language so there's clarity on what he's talking about.
Mm.
That's my guess, but it is curious.
Mm. If gifts are given by God and used by him to bless his people, should we thank people for their work they do, like singing or preaching? Does that take the focus away from God's work and make it about the person's effort?
Yeah, I think that's the thing that we need to get good at in Christian life, because the Bible says, Romans 12, that you give honour to whom honour is due. And I think that our good works and our gifts are a bit like the divinity and humanity of Jesus, that they're not either or, that it's appropriate to give due honour when honour's due and to be thankful and so on. And I think we need to develop languages and customs that work in the truth that we're receiving something from God, and the truth that the agency of that person was the blessing to us. And so we want to encourage them. So you don't want to be like this crazy kind of super Puritan place that's getting all this good stuff and just, you know, we want to be places that overflow with thankfulness, and where you say, thank you, sister, I was so blessed tonight. And thank you that I know you didn't tell anyone, that I know you've got an exam on Tuesday, or you've got that report due on Thursday, and we mattered to you, and it just, you know, thank you for that. And I think by working out the appropriate language, we encourage the building up of the church. So I think we definitely should. I think we need to think about how we do it.
Hmm. Do you think any gifts have ceased, e.g. apostleship?
There's one that's necessarily ceased is the apostleship that derives from seeing the risen Jesus. But there's another apostleship which is just being sent. I think In lots of cases, apostle just means missionary. There's no word missionary. I think the word apostle is the word that we use as missionaries. I think that's still true, because apostle means sent, and we still send people in the name of Jesus to do stuff. I'll just kind of like play my hand a bit. I'm open to the idea. There's a thing called cessationism or whatever, where they say the gifts have stopped at the closing of the New Testament canon. I don't think that's right. I think that's... you have to work very hard exegetically to make the Bible say that, because I just don't think it does. But it might be the case that I notice in the New Testament there are people who almost by their very nature are healers. That's kind of, they almost can't help but heal. And I'm open to the idea that there is still the gift of healing, but maybe not healers. Or the gift of prophecy, but maybe not prophets. I'm just putting that out there. I'm open to that suggestion. But who knows? But essentially yes, I do think, I've got no reason to think that they're not in play.
What's the role of speaking prophecy prophetically over the lives of other people in the church?
Jesus is the center of prophecy. So the without which not test case of prophecy is that you acknowledge the lordship of Jesus. And so it could be that our preaching is pretty close to prophecy in some ways. But I suspect that as you try to pull together what's happening in Corinth, I wonder if prophecy has that more kind of freakishly immediate application. You know sometimes you're at church and either the preacher or at Bible study someone, or there's some situation where someone says something to you and it's just so, it's not generally true, it seems to be very specifically true, that God's kind of nailed you up against the wall and said, do this or know this or whatever. I reckon that would fit with the descriptions of prophecy you get here. And I think when that happens, it's to be treasured as a great thing. Yeah.
We have about half a dozen more questions that I'm afraid we're not going to be able to get to, just because we need to get back onto our regular program so we can finish on time and head. I will encourage you to talk to Rory if you want later on. He'll be around. And we'll invite the band back up now if that's okay. And thank you so much, Rory, for all of your helpful answers and real wisdom. Thank you.